Thank you, choir. I want to echo what Mary Noble said about the revival study. I hope that you all pick up a book, and we are looking forward for the opportunity to participate in this and to join Mary Noble in her time of renewal. And I hope that you all will join us on the Wednesday night study and be here for this, because I think really it's a great opportunity for us to be in renewal as well as to revive ourselves. Our scripture today comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. As always, if you have your Bibles with you, you're welcome to follow along with me. And if you don't, you're welcome to listen as we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so, because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time God said, "My grace is all that you need. My power works best in weakness." So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer from Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of His holy word, and let us pray together. Gracious God, as always, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together as a community of faith. We thank you for the opportunity that we've had today to worship you, and we pray, Lord, in thanksgiving for the way that your Spirit has worked through our gathering thus far. And we ask, Lord, that your Spirit would continue to move among us. Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, as always, we humbly ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts, that the words that you have for us today might be more for us than simply more information. But we pray, Lord, that your words would dig deeply within us, that they would go into our hearts, that they would transform us from the inside out. All this we ask in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in his name we've prayed together, saying, Amen. This has to be one of the most strangest places in Scripture. For when I am weak, the last verse says, then I am strong. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. My power works best in weakness. You see, we have a hard time with that, don't we? Because we believe that somehow, if we were really in God's power, we would be in strength. We would have success. We would not be sick. We would not be troubled. We would not be persecuted. Everything would go well if God was with us. For many, many years, as I went to church and tried my best to be a follower of Christ, I often ended up confounded at what I found in church folks. Even in the ones that I went to church with, the ones that I loved, I often was confounded because most of the people that I knew that were Christians never talked about their troubles. They never once mentioned their problems, but they said things like, God will never give you more than you can handle. God helps those that help themselves. If you pray long enough, hard enough, or the right prayer, God will answer you and things will be well. And often I would walk away from Sunday worship and would think, wow, what a failure I am. What a failure. Because I have troubles. I have weaknesses. I have areas in my life that confound me, that have confounded me for a long time. I have places where I feel really close to God, and there are times where I wonder where God is, and I must not be getting this Christian thing right. I must not be getting the Christian walk right, because it's all about strength. It's all about power. It's all about doing the right thing, saying the right prayer, knowing that God is with you. And someone might have said to me, son, what you need is some faith. You don't have enough faith. And honestly, they might have been right. They might have been right. So when I think about somebody like the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words in 2 Corinthians, saying, I can boast about my life, I can boast about things, but if I'm going to boast about anything, it's going to be my weaknesses. It's going to be my faults. It's going to be the things that I don't get right, because that's where God's grace comes in. That's where God does His best work. Not in my power, but in my weakness. For when I am weak, Paul says, then I am strong. I want to give you a little background on this, and nobody has done this better than a woman named Barbara Brown Taylor. She is an Episcopal priest, and she's a writer, and if you've never read anything by Barbara Brown Taylor, you can do no wrong. Mary Noble and I love this woman's writings. But I want to share with you what she says is background on the scripture that I just read you, and about the context. The context is important. As best as anyone can tell, Paul arrived in Corinth around AD 50. Over the next year and a half, he founded a church there. Once that he was satisfied that the community was strong enough to survive without him, he set sail for Ephesus to do the very same thing there. He stayed in touch with the people of Corinth by mail, doing his best to instruct them long distance, but it was not long before trouble set in. As soon as Paul left town, a new crowd of Christian evangelists arrived in Corinth. Paul calls them, quote unquote, super apostles, and they began to challenge Paul's authority. Paul was crude, they said. He was volatile and manipulative. Everywhere he went, Paul offended people, they said, which they presumably did not. Since all we have is Paul's response to their attack on him, we don't know exactly what else they said, but the gist of their argument was that Paul did not exhibit the signs of a true apostle. He was short, weak, insecure, and tactless. He did not work enough miracles, and he was always in trouble, in and out of jail, getting beat up in public, always rubbing people the wrong way. Surely God had better taste than that, these super apostles suggested. Surely God would tap someone else, perhaps someone like them, to serve as a true apostle and would also offer them a smoother path. Paul was undone by their criticism of him, especially since he knew it was true. He was short, weak, insecure, and tactless. He had never denied any of that, and it was as painful to him as it was to anyone else. But being an apostle had not been Paul's idea. It was not as if he had campaigned for the job. God had forced it on him, slamming him to the ground one day and telling him what to do. God had even blinded him so that Paul could not run away, and that is how it had been for Paul ever since. Super apostles. Short, weak, insecure, and tactless. Interesting words for somebody who wrote more than half, maybe two-thirds of the New Testament as we know it, isn't it? You see, Paul, with the experience he had, the vision that he had, and he goes into this in the first part of the scripture that I read you, Paul could have said, look what I have done. 14 years ago, I had this wonderful vision of paradise. God yanked me up. I got to see things that no other human being has seen. You see, in our day, if that happened and somebody had that experience, they would immediately write a book, wouldn't they? And then they would probably open a mega church, I guess. I don't know. Have a TV ministry. Look at me. Look how powerful. Look how great I am. But Paul says, you know, I'm boasting about this only to show you that if I wanted to boast, I could. But the most important thing, Paul said, is not what I have seen. It's not my strengths. It's not what I can boast about. But instead, the thing that I need to boast about is my weaknesses. Because you see, brothers and sisters, it is in our weaknesses where God shows his power. It's where God comes in grace to us. It's where God does his best work. Because truly, what this whole passage revolves around are two things. God's power versus our power. One of the reasons that platitudes like God helps those that help themselves, or God never gives us more than we can handle, one of the reasons that they are so theologically wrong, that they don't work, is that both of those talk about human power, human strength, what we can do as humans. And brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but for me, if I have the strength, if I have the power, if I can do something myself, if I can help myself, if God's not going to give me more than I can handle, then brothers and sisters, I'm going to be good, because you know what? It's going to be the Mike Pot Show 24/7. Watch what Mike Potts can do. Watch what I can do. And pretty soon, I might find myself as a functional atheist. What do I mean by that term, functional atheist? Well, I might talk about God. I might give God glory. We might talk about God's power, but in truth, it's all up to me. It's all about me. It's all about what I do and not what God does. Not what God does. Paul talks about this interesting experience that he had, the thorn in the flesh. The thorn in the flesh. Scholars and theologians, biblical writers, for years have pondered what exactly was Paul talking about when he talked about his thorn in the flesh. What exactly was it? There have been all sorts of speculations, all sorts of people who thought that maybe Paul had epilepsy. Perhaps he suffered from migraines. Maybe he had an issue, a hip issue, a leg issue, something that gave him trouble walking. Maybe it was something going on in his mind that wasn't clear. But whatever it was, God didn't take it away from Paul. Now understand, this is Paul the apostle we're talking about. Paul, who was responsible for starting churches all over the Mediterranean rim. Paul, who wrote many, many books that ended up in our New Testament. Paul, who God had called himself to be an apostle, Paul's prayer didn't get answered with taking away the thorn. Instead, what happens is God says, no, you're going to be fine. You're going to be absolutely fine because you're going to find out that my grace is sufficient. You're going to find out that my grace is enough. You're going to find out that the power of God works best in you, Apostle Paul, when you're weak. When you're weak. When things aren't going right. When you're stuck. When you don't feel well. When you're sick. When you have a physical problem. When you're in grief and that grief won't go away. Oh, Brother Paul, what you are going to find, God said, is that my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough. And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but as I consider those words this morning, these must be some of the most powerful words that were ever uttered in Scripture. My grace is sufficient. My power is made known in your weakness, because it means that we don't have to have it all together. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be the people who walk around acting as if everything's okay, even when everything is not, which is what most of us do, particularly when we walk through the doors of the church. We don't acknowledge our weaknesses. We don't acknowledge our struggles. We don't acknowledge our pains. We don't acknowledge those things because we think of all things what God wants to see from us is how strong we are. It's almost ridiculous, isn't it, that God would be impressed with how strong we are. And instead, God says to Paul and to us, it's not about the thorn in your side. It's not about the thing that you carry around, whatever that is. It's about my grace, which is sufficient. And what would it be like, church? What would it be like if we were to say these words of Paul? If we were to go around and say to each other, I take pleasure in my weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, troubles, when I suffer for Christ, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. Because it is the paradox of our faith. It's the paradox of what Christ has done for us, that we cannot and we never could save ourselves. We cannot and we never could save ourselves. If we could have saved ourselves, as human beings, we would have done that. We wouldn't have needed a Savior. We wouldn't have needed a Jesus. We wouldn't have needed the incarnate Word coming to us in flesh to give us an example. We wouldn't have needed for Jesus to die and to be resurrected because we could do it ourselves. We could do it ourselves. And yet sometimes in our own faith journeys, in our own discipleship, as if we were petulant little toddlers who look at us and say, I can do it myself. I can do it myself. We look at God and say, hey, we can take care of this. We can do it ourselves. Not realizing that we are shutting ourselves off from the very power, the very grace that God wants to make known to us in our weaknesses, in our troubles, in our problems. That's where God's power really shows up. That's where we really feel the grace of God in God's presence. It's not when we can take care of things. It's when there's nothing we can do. When we have nothing left, when we are spent, exhausted, tired, frustrated, that is when we can be at our strongest, because that's when the grace of God can come in and we can find out that God's power indeed comes to us in weakness, in weakness. And we find out the truth that when we are weak, it is only then that we are strong. So perhaps today, brothers and sisters, we will hear the words of the Apostle Paul, who did more for the Christian church probably than anybody ever has in the history of the church. You see, we think, why wouldn't God take away the thorn in the flesh from Paul, who did so much? And why wouldn't Paul brag about all the things that he had done when the super apostles, these evangelists, came into the town of Corinth? Why wouldn't Paul say, I'm greater than them, I've done more? Because Paul knew that he was indeed short, insecure. He rubbed people the wrong way. He could be tactless. But when he allowed God to work through him, when he allows God's grace to fall upon him, then Paul said, I know then that I am strong. Because it is not my power, it's not my strength, it's God's strength, it's God's grace that I rely upon. So brothers and sisters, can we stop this facade that we've been playing with each other? It's not just us, it's all Christians everywhere. It's this facade that everything is perfect, that we have no hurts, no pains, that God answers every prayer that we utter, that if we will just have faith, everything will be okay. If we say the right prayers or enough prayers, or if we read the Bible or come to church enough, that then God will take our thorns away from us. When indeed the very opposite of that might be true. It might be through the power and the grace of God that works through our very weaknesses that God makes himself known to us. Not when we pretend to be perfect, not when we brag about how well we've done and what sort of discipleship we have, but when we acknowledge, when we say, without the amazing grace of God that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, I would have nothing. I would be nothing. We would have nothing. We would be nothing were it not for the amazing grace. And may we learn from probably the real super apostle, if there ever was one, Paul, that it's not about our strengths. It's not about what we do well. But sometimes God works his grace and his power through our weaknesses, our pains, our hurts, our trials. God works through those to show his strength and his love for each and every one of us. Brothers and sisters, may you and I find out that it is true, that his grace is sufficient, and that his power best works in human weakness and the thorns that we all carry. Amen.